let's take a scenario of how much income a consultant might want to make. All right? So, what's the goal? Give me a figure of what you'd like to make in a year. 100,000? Okay. If your goal is $100,000, now we're going to show you how you would reach that. All right? Based on the quirks we know about the market, based on the quirks we know about little business owners like Art, and based on quirks we know in the system. Okay? $100,000, you would want to keep a client. Let's say you kept a client an average of 3 projects. So that would be $3,000, and you averaged $1,000 per project. Okay? How many clients is that? Say 33. Okay? Getting you to $99,000, right? Okay. So if your goal for 1996 was to make $100,000, you know that you have to bring on 33 new clients this year. Okay? And assuming you keep them 3 months or 3 projects, all right? Now we'll tell you a little bit about how the months go. You will not... 33 divided by 12 is how many? By 12 months? Okay, let's say 3 a month. Okay? You're going to go after 3 new clients then every month. Well, no, it's going to have to be more than that, because we can tell you that the months of July, August should count as 1. Okay? It just dies. People go on vacations. I mean, it's amazing, but we know that. And you should also count November and December as 1. So how many months do you really have? 10. So you should divide 33 by 10, which is 3.3. You need 3.3 new clients a month, okay, for 10 months. But if you're going to keep them an average of 3 months, okay, that'll be all right. All right, 3.3 clients a month. Now, if you close 1 out of 4, how many presentations do you need to make? Okay, 15 presentations should yield you 3.3 clients. Okay, 15 presentations is how many contacts?
Oh,
150 contacts per month. Okay. No, per month. All right.
Per week. No, per month, sorry.
Per month.
Per month, sorry.
Per month. Okay. And so that's looking at 115, that's looking at 15 hours to 20 hours of teleprospecting. Okay, and now, to be safe, you should double all of it. Times all that by 2. Why would we tell you to do that?
Well, we use the best scenario of success rates and prospecting, and some won't stay on for 3 months.
That's right. This is the variable we know that's associated with our target group. Okay? We know that as much as you would like this to work in a systematically approach, there are you do not control, which is the personality of your target group. And that is, yeah, Rich, I'd like to do it, but just can't get going this week. Yeah, Rich, I'd like to do it, just can't go this month. You know, I'd like to do it. Yeah, Rich, gee, it was a great first project, but man, this business slowed down, things have changed, I can't really get started till the first of the year. Okay, all right. So, in other words, you really need 66 new clients. You really need 6.6 a month in new clients to get your 3.3 paid. Okay? It's a great billboard. I don't know if you've seen that on I-15. It says, you may be making sales. You may think you're in business by making sales, but how much did you collect this month? Big difference, isn't there? Okay. You may go ahead and go sell 6.6 clients, which you should do. And which, again, isn't out of reach. Let's take the ratios. What do we need? 6.6 means how many presentations in that month?
30.
About 30 presentations. That's about 8 per week. That's about 2 a day. Out of line? Problem? Not a problem. Happens in every sales industry, doesn't it? Okay? Business-to-business sales? That's a typical, that's a very reachable goal. Okay? It should take you about 3 hours of your time. Okay? To make those two presentations. Maybe some travel time, so maybe 4 hours early on. Okay? So half your day giving presentations. Then you start using your other half to service clients. And you're on your way. Okay? So, again, not out of line. And so assume this. Assume this to get this, and you'll reach this. Okay? If you assume this, you're going to get 1.15, and you'll reach $50,000. Okay? And so that's where you're heading. Now, you got to keep assuming these ratios are in line. They get your one out of. There's not. There's a problem. We got to work on it. Got to fix it. Got to get your work. If you're not, there's a problem. We're either not qualifying well enough, or we're not getting a business owner there, or you're just giving a flat-out crappy presentation, and you're not closing, and you're not asking trial questions. You're not building trust and rapport. You're not selling this thing. Okay. So if you start hitting 1 out of 5 and 1 out of 6, you've got to call us and say, listen, what's wrong? What's happening? Okay? So we've got to assume those ratios are in line, and we've got to keep hitting this. Okay? And you've got to hit 3.5 or 3 months per project. Okay? Per client. Okay? That's how you do it. That's how you do it. So you start here and work your figures and then double it.
Okay, all right. Because you don't want somebody to come back and say, Rich, you told us.
Well, I know it happens with my own. I know it's been our history. I tell you that because that's the history. And that's the facts. You know, based on the tendency not to market, number one. Based on the business owners not coming through like you would like them to. It's just that group. You don't have a set up, ongoing, residual, retaining contract that you can plan on for 12 months out of the year. Okay? And so, if you can pull that off, that's great, but that's probably not our market. Any questions on that at all? So as you start formulating your goals, and as you start taking a look at your goals, what you'd like to accomplish, that's how you want to go about it. I mean, early on I thought, geez, I got 5 clients, I'll make 5 grand this month. 6 clients, I'll make 6. And all of a sudden, three decide not to pay, or three get delayed for 2 weeks. Okay, and made $3,000 or made $2,500. So you learn. That's why you're here. That's why you paid, because you say, I want to avoid this. I don't want to go through that. All right? And so we are telling you that so that you can avoid that. Okay? Now, seminars and workshops. Page 14. Another way to quickly build your practice is through seminars and workshops. It can be difficult to get people to attend, but once you have them at the seminar, if you put on a good program, the chances of them doing business with you is very high. See that on the right page? There you are. Okay. Just want to make sure you got the pages. The best type of seminar for you to do is an endorsed one that is sponsored by a third party. This would be like the Chamber of Commerce or the Area Merchant Association. You'll want to contact these groups regularly and offer to speak. Many times they're looking for qualified speakers to have at their meetings. You can also sponsor the seminar yourself, promote it through direct mail, media ads, or telemarketing. This is a little more risky, but if done properly, you'll generate potential clients. The following letters and promotional pieces have all been used successfully to promote endorsed and non-endorsed seminars. You may copy these styles or use them as reference in promoting your seminar. All right. Now, this was a faxed letter. You invited to attend the 21st Century Marketing System workshop, and you can bring a partner. Okay, and we'd have the picture of a consultant up there, and then a copy of the free report. See, if you look at my personal guarantee to you, I realize that you're probably approached daily to attend workshops. And as a business owner, I appreciate your hesitancy. That's why I sent you this report, just so you could see it'd be really worthwhile to attend. But in addition to that, I want to give you my very personal guarantee you'll find the insights make more money. Okay? Now then the next page is a second faxed letter that can be sent out to promote a workshop. Okay, 14C is a third faxed letter that could be sent out, and all these could be mailed out as well. Okay. Then on page 14D is the registration that we would fax, or they would fax back to come to the workshop. 14E was another page, only this was a postcard, okay, that was sent out. Okay, 14F, we then started to add some endorsements to the letter that was sent out. I want you all to pay particularly close attention to the endorsement of Fred Bowman, President, International Biokinetics. I paid $15,000 to attend a workshop by a gentleman who was regarded as the nation's best. This workshop was better. It will make millions of dollars of difference this year. He's referring, of course, to the same Abraham thing that I went to. Okay, and so that's another promotional letter. 14G. It's a letter that I wrote to the downtown merchants in Elko to get them out for a little workshop on September 19th of 1990. Whew. Can't believe it was that long ago. Okay, then the next page, 14H. Let me tell you what this was in response to. I had a real need. Remember the 2 months I put up here where things slow down, November and December? Well, who's real busy in those 2 months? retailers, okay? So I knew they would, and I knew that they would have a desire to sell as much as they could in those 2 months. And so I set up just a sales training workshop in preparation for the holiday season. I'd come in and train their salespeople, and it got me through Christmas that 1 year, okay?
I had presents for the little ones.
Anyway, I passed those out at mall stores and things and got some workshops for that season. So you can use that and borrow that, okay? And that's the next page as well. Page 14J is where our licensee professional marketing management group was promoting a seminar, okay, for me, Richard Johnson. Okay, so they endorsed a workshop down to St. George. Okay, and that's a copy of the endorsed letter for the workshop. Now, on page 14L, you'll see what we did there. I had gone down and given a free presentation to the St. George Chamber of Commerce. Went around and got these endorsements of the information I gave them, then used them in this letter to promote a workshop. Okay. Okay, that's 14M. 14N did the same thing in Provo that I had done in Elko. All right, inviting downtown merchants. I would guess that your towns up there in Canada have these downtown or have these merchant groups. That's right, chambers and merchant groups. Okay? And they're looking for speakers. They're looking for good information. Okay? Page 14O. Let me just kind of tell you how the career has gone, and you can see it. But in 1990, we started the teleprospecting as a primary tool, with a few workshops. That carried me to 1991, and then 1992, boy, I was doing almost all my prospecting was chambers. I did several chamber presentations. You can buy a book that has all the Chamber of Commerce's listed in the United States. And I had a gal that would just call and send out my information and call back to book me for luncheon. Okay, and so you want to be doing both, though. You want to be doing both. You want to be doing as many of these pillars as you can. That's why we're trying to emphasize over and over and over. Don't fall in the trap that most consultants do. That is, they get one pillar, and they do it, they get clients, and then they, what do I do next? You know, you have to just keep it going. These are some letters of endorsement that I would get and then include in my mailing, see, on page 14O. 14P was a copy. When I joined the St. George Chamber of Commerce, one of the benefits was an ad in their paper. And this is the ad that I did to promote the workshop that also went out with the mailing. Okay? And then there's another, this is a copy of the letter that I would send to Chamber of Commerce's. And that's what got me up in to Gillette, Wyoming. Is that we were mailing all around here and going and doing chamber groups. Okay. There's another letter from the Murray Area Chamber of Commerce. And then the Henderson area, this is how they promoted me to their members in preparation for the chamber meeting. Okay. Now, page 15 begins, and you have a blank template there, hard copy of what we did yesterday morning. Okay. This is the whole seminar, the whole workshop, okay? That goes all the way to page 40. And then page, and then after that you have the free consultation slip. So if you all get to page 40, hoping we're pretty close. Okay, that's this. Okay, then you, this is what you'd want to hand out at your workshop. Okay, so that they could, you could get them to fill it out for your consultation. Then we'd have an evaluation. We'd ask them to fill out. Okay. Then we'd give them their bonus if they gave us 5 referrals. Okay. Professional Marketing Management has 250 referrals. And they can just work those referrals to give workshops instead of trying to mail and solicit to new clients. Okay.
Hello, I'm Doug Clough, and for the next few minutes, I'd like to spend some time teaching you more about how to effectively conduct the opportunity consultation. This is the crucial meeting in your entire consulting process because this is where you either make the sale or you don't. Now, we've taught you a number of ways to generate leads, and we've taught you a number of different marketing pillars which you can effectively use to build your practice and have an unending source of potential clients. But what you do with those clients once you get the lead, that's what determines your success. Now, if you'll turn to page 43 in volume number 2, and let's talk about the opportunity consultation. This really is the foundation of your entire consulting practice, and this is where you're going to sell the prospect on being your client. Your goal for the opportunity meeting is to close the client on project implementation. If you follow the structure of the call, most of the time you will be able to do that. However, sometimes you'll have to follow up with a second call and perhaps a formal presentation. In conducting the opportunity call, you'll use the opportunity analysis worksheet, which you will find in your volume number 2. It will lead you automatically through the 4 steps of the opportunity work of the opportunity call and guide you to a hopefully successful close. Now, the opportunity call should take you about 1 hour to complete, and the hour should be broken down as follows. Approximately the first 5 minutes of the call should be spent in solidifying trust and rapport, warming up the client, developing a personal relationship. The next 35 minutes you should spend identifying those hidden marketing assets. Now, if you'll follow the guidelines in the worksheet, you should be able to automatically do this and do it very effectively. You should also then spend 10 minutes showing the client how to leverage those assets and how he can achieve exponential growth by doing so. And the final 10 minutes should be spent on closing and setting up your first project. So if you look at that opportunity call as being about an hour in length, the first 5 minutes warm up, 35 minutes in identifying assets, 10 minutes in leverage, 10 minutes then in your close. Now, it doesn't always work exactly that way. It doesn't always work in exactly 1 hour. But if you'll follow the process, you should be fairly close. Sometimes it may take an hour and a half. Sometimes it may take a little bit less. Now, as you get into the opportunity call, the first step is solidifying trust and rapport. Now, as you've already learned, there are 4 steps in the selling process. And that's what the opportunity call is. It is a sales call. Now, those 4 steps are build trust and rapport, identify needs, fill the needs, and close. That's exactly what we're doing here. Now, in solidifying trust and rapport, it's important that you remember these few rules, okay? Number 1, keep the focus on the client, not on you. Always talk in terms of their interest. Take a sincere, genuine interest in them and in helping them to get the kind of results that they want to achieve. Number 2, stay in control. Now, the way you stay in control is by asking questions. The person who is asking the questions is the person who is in control. The questions you want to ask are open-ended questions. Now, these are questions that cannot be answered simple yes or no. They'll encourage the client to continue to talk and will encourage them to give you the information that you need in order to help them effectively. Thirdly, you need to listen. Now, here's a fundamental rule of selling. The more you listen, the more success you're going to have. In other words, your degree of success in this selling situation is inversely proportional to the amount that you talk. The more you talk, the less success that you have. So you need to listen. Number four, conduct the meeting in a relaxed and casual manner. You know, it's not an interrogation. It's an opportunity call. It's an exploratory call where you're wanting to find out just how you can help them. Number five, always demonstrate that sincere interest. Number six, stay focused on the objectives of growing their business. Now, if you'll do that, you'll greatly enhance your trust and rapport and be able to quickly move them into the next step, which is identifying the hidden marketing assets. Now, on page 45 in Volume 2, there's a discussion on hidden marketing assets. Most of the meeting, at least 50% or more of the meeting, will involve identifying, uncovering, and finding those hidden marketing assets. The analysis worksheet is structured in such a manner that simply by following the guideline, asking the right questions, going through the process, you will be able to identify those assets. Now, as we go through the worksheet, you'll notice some italics under each of the seven project areas. These are the hidden assets that you should be looking for in each of those areas. Now, as you go through the questions with your client, you should write down the answers and try to gear them towards finding those assets that are listed on the sheet. Remember, don't just take what they tell you at face value. Many times, you'll have to dig, you'll have to probe, you'll have to really work at finding out what it is that really is going on there. Many times, the client themselves don't really know, and so many times, they're not going to give you the true answer. Many times, they'll give you just a brief overview that really has nothing to do with the problem at hand. Also, be prepared to skip around in the worksheet. Oftentimes, what you'll discover is that it's not going to go step by step by step, right, if it's outlined on your analysis worksheet. The client's going to skip around. You might sit down and he might begin talking about his media advertising. Well, you'd better be prepared to go to that point in the worksheet and be prepared to talk about that. The best way to do this, obviously, is to be so familiar with what it is that you're trying to accomplish, to be so familiar with the worksheet, to be so familiar with what your objectives are, that no matter what the client's talking about, you'll know what it means. You'll know where it goes, and you'll know what the significance is in terms of the four-step process in the opportunity call. Now, how do you gain that expertise? Well, it's simple. You do it in three ways. First way is practice. Second way is practice. And the third way is practice some more. And the best way to practice is to just go out and do this in real life. I mean, you can practice in front of the mirror and become familiar with it on your own. But until you actually go out and do this in front of a client, you're never really going to have a good feel for how it works and what you need to do. So don't be afraid to go out immediately, even though you may not be totally comfortable, you may not be totally confident, but go out and start working with the opportunity analysis worksheet. That's how you gain the practice. That's how you gain the expertise. The third section of the situation or the opportunity analysis is leveraging the assets for growth. Now, this section is very important because it's here that you're going to demonstrate the power of working all three ways to grow the business. This is where you'll work the calculations, you'll use the matrix, and you'll show them what's going to happen if they consistently grow the business in all three ways. You'll see how they can achieve the exponential growth. Now, the first thing to do is to determine the key ratios and ask them about their customer worth, their closing ratio, growth objective, and so on. Now, the way the worksheet is structured, as you will see, these formulas are very easy to work because the formulas are drawn out for you right there on the worksheet. All you have to do, for the most part, fill in the blanks, work the calculations, and it'll work itself out. And it's a very powerful visual tool. Showing them the matrix, showing them the kind of exponential growth which they could achieve by implementing the system is a great way to get them tied into this whole process on a logical as well as an emotional basis. So it's a very important section. Make sure that you learn how to do it and make sure you work it effectively. The final step is project implementation. Now, this is the final section of the worksheet where you will actually take them step by step through each of the projects which you are proposing to them. Now, of course, as we know, there are four projects, the core four, which can be implemented by virtually any business. These are obviously, then, the first four projects which you want to recommend. You will then take them through and show them their investment, show them the potential for return, and show them the profitability or the money that they will be able to put in their pocket as a result of implementing the projects. Very powerful concept, very powerful tool. Now, as we go through the opportunity analysis worksheet, the purpose of it, again, is to close the client and to begin project implementation. Usually the most effective close comes in the form of an assumptive close. We're on page 48 in your manual. And typically what you want to do is simply assume the close for the USP project. Simply say, the first thing we'll need to do is to have the initial meeting with you and your staff as we begin work on the USP project. Now, I can do that either on Wednesday morning or Thursday afternoon, whichever time works out better for you. Tell them to bring to the meeting the things that you'll need, which are, of course, the customer list for the customer survey, and, of course, your check. Schedule the time and then leave. Now, many times, this is exactly how it works. It's just that smooth. Sometimes you may have to do a specific proposal or come back with an actual written proposal for them, and that's okay, too. We'll talk about that here in just a few minutes. But let's go to now the opportunity analysis worksheet itself, and let's see how we can effectively utilize that tool. Now, in having done many, many, many opportunity calls throughout my consulting career, I have found that it's still very important, no matter how many times you've done this, no matter how many times you're going to do it in the future, it's still vitally important to always use the worksheet. Now, there's several very important reasons why you should always use the worksheet. First reason is that it will help you to stay focused. It'll help you to stay on track with what it is that you're wanting to accomplish. It'll help you to stay in line with the objectives. Another very important reason is that it makes it easy for you to do the process because everything is outlined for you. In many cases, all you have to do is simply fill in the blanks, work the calculations, and the formulas are all right there for you. Thirdly, and probably most importantly, the reason why you want to always use this worksheet is because it does tend to increase your credibility dramatically. If the client sees that you actually have a system, that you actually have a plan, that you actually have some methodology to what it is that you're doing, rather than just in there shooting the breeze with them, they're going to gain a lot more confidence in you and your ability. Your credibility goes way up. So my advice, always use the worksheet. And no matter how good you get, always use the worksheet. All right, now, the way the worksheet is in your manual, you can use it as a master. Just simply go out to the nearest copy shop, make as many copies of this as you will need, and go to work. It doesn't have to be anything fancy. Just simply copy the worksheet right out of the book. Now, on the front page, you will notice you fill in the owner's name, the business name, and the client's address, and so on. Pretty self-explanatory. You will notice as you go through the opportunity analysis worksheet that there are a number of paragraphs that are in italics. Now, these are notes to you. You don't read these to your clients, okay? This tells you what you should be doing at this particular point in the meeting. At the top of page 2, note, this worksheet will help you to isolate the hidden marketing assets in the business and to determine specific marketing projects that will optimize and leverage those assets for greater growth and profit. Step 1, solidifying trust and rapport. Now, here is your opening line, and you'll want to use this, you want to memorize this, you want to use it almost word for word because it works. Now, you can certainly adapt it to your own style, you can adapt it to your own terminology and whatnot, but the way this is structured is very important. It tells the client exactly who you are and what you're going to do in the meeting. This is an important factor because it helps them to feel more comfortable and more confident with what's going on. They're not going to be sitting there worrying about, oh no, what's going to happen, how long is this guy going to be here, and how much is it going to cost. So I want to suggest to you that you use this opening much as it is. Tie each point down. As you do the opening, ask them, does that make sense? Make sure that they're on track. Make sure that they're agreeing with you. if the prospect asks how you get paid, it's important that you tell him and put him at ease, because if you don't tell him, he's going to be worrying about this throughout the entire rest of the meeting. He's not going to be thinking about much of anything else. So if he's concerned about that, if he asks how you get paid for all of this, simply tell him, well, we get paid on a project-by-project basis. That's going to make him feel good, because he now knows there's not some kind of a long-term retainer or, big investment he's going to have to make in order to bring you on board. We get paid on a project-by-project basis, and typically each project ranges from, and I usually give them the price for coaching, say $350 to $500, to $1,500 to $2,000 for full project implementation. It just depends on what you need and what you want to do and what it is that you specifically want to accomplish. So don't be afraid to tell them what it costs and tell them right up front and tell them very openly and honestly. Then you want to get the prospect to talk. You want to get them to open up and start telling you about their business. Now, the first question that you will ask, and this is a good one because it will get them to start thinking about growth and about what they could be doing in their business, and it will give you some indications and ideas about how you could best help them. Say this, most of the businesses that we work with fall into one of three different situations. Either their business is going okay, they're growing, they're doing fine, they just want to figure out ways to perhaps do better. Or, second group of businesses we talk to, many times their sales have flattened out. They're stagnant. They're not growing like they would like to, and of course they'd like to figure out ways to turn that around. Or oftentimes the third group, their sales have declined, and they're on the decline, and they'd like to figure out ways to turn that around. So tell me, where are you in relation to that through those three scenarios? Well, what they'll do now is they'll start telling you about their business and start building some rapport with you, because you've taken a sincere interest in their business. Now, we're also asking them here, what kind of growth do you want to achieve? Would you like more growth? If so, how much more? Now, it's pretty early on to be asking this question, but the reason you want to ask it so early on in this meeting is because you want to determine, are they really a qualified prospect? Are they really someone who is interested in growing their business? If they're not interested in growing their business, if they don't want to do better, then I'm certainly not going to be able to help them out. So if they're not interested in doing any better than they're now doing, then you might just want to wrap it up and go on to the next person, because if they don't have an interest in doing better, there's not much more I can do for them. Okay, so that's the way that you want to open up the meeting. Now, one little aside here that we ought to talk about before we go too much further. It's absolutely critical that you make sure that you're talking to the right person. Now, in working with most small and medium-sized companies, the person who you need to be talking to, without question, is the owner or owners. In other words, if there's more than one owner, husband and wife, father, son, mother, daughter, sisters, brothers, whatever, you want to have all the owners present. Because if you don't have all the owners present, two things are going to happen. Number one, they're always going to defer to the other owner. And number two, the other owner is always going to have a different perception of the situation than the guy you're talking to. So you're going to end up having to go through the whole process twice, and it's just going to be a real mess. So make sure that you're dealing with the owner of the business, the person who can make the decision, and make sure that all of the parties are there and all of them are involved. Okay, now, that's the opening, step one, solidifying trust and rapport. If you'll do these things, if you'll use the worksheet, if you'll use your opening line, if you'll ask the opening questions, you'll begin to develop a lot of credibility, a lot of rapport, and a lot of trust. Now, then you move into the second objective here, identifying hidden marketing assets. And we've got this structured in the worksheet so that there are seven areas of analysis. These seven areas of analysis correspond with the seven projects in the 21st century marketing system. By asking the questions in each of these areas, it should help you to identify hidden assets. It should help you to identify things that you could leverage, things that you could optimize, ways in which you could help this guy to be more successful. Now, first of all, we want to look at the unique selling proposition. Why do people do business with them? Now, what it is that you are looking for here is you're looking for things like the underpromoted USP. Owner and staff expertise, competitive advantages, price leadership, differentiation, focus, competitive advantages, unique products, guarantees, unique benefits, services, etc. Also, look for ways in which extra value might be added to what it is that they're doing now. The best question you should ask here is simply the first one on the list. Why should people do business with you? It's important for you to understand that you go out and ask this question to business owners, 9 times out of 10, you're always going to get the same answer. That answer being fast, fair, friendly service or some variation of that. And it's simply the result of people not knowing, you know, what their strengths are and not knowing why people would do business with them. And so it's important here that you dig. You really have to probe and try to identify some of those things that the owner really feels that they could have a strength in. Now, obviously, you're going to go back and verify all this as you do Project 1 through your customer surveys and competitive analysis and so on. But you want to try to create the idea here in the owner's mind that they really need to develop this more fully. By asking the questions here, do all of your customers and prospects and staff know this? If not, why? Is your USP well integrated into your marketing efforts? Well, most of the time the answer is going to be no, which indicates that there is a definite need for the USP project. Secondly, looking at leveraging current marketing. Now here we're looking for closing ratios, subpar salespeople, no follow-up, upselling opportunities, and so on. So tell me about your current sales process. We want to identify all the different steps here that are involved in taking a prospect in their business to the ultimate customer. Look at the closing ratio. Now, most of the time, this will instantly set you up for project number 2. You ask them, what is your closing ratio? They say 30%, 3 out of 10 people buy. Okay, you ask, what happens to the other 7? Well, obviously, if they're not closing all of them, if there's 7 out of the 10 who don't buy, there's opportunity there. That's a hidden marketing asset. It's something that you could help to leverage in project number 2 through a consistent follow-up or sales training or whatever it might be. So you see, each of these questions is designed to tie down the client into a specific project. Project 3, past, present, and prospective customers. Looking for how much the customer worth really is, and are there ways to upgrade that? Can we sell more? Can we increase that initial transaction? Looking at their customer base. Do they have a database? Now, most of the time, you're going to discover that they have people that have done business with them in the past that maybe for whatever reason they're not doing business now. Could these inactive customers be somehow reactivated? Could you do something that would bring more of these people in? Obviously, that, again, would set up a need for doing project number 3. Number 4, looking for alliance opportunities. We want to find, are there other businesses that would be non-competing companies that would be good to set up alliances with? We want to, first of all, find out who their customers are. Once we understand who our clients' customers are, we can then look for other businesses who would have similar clients that we could perhaps establish some alliances and work their customer base. Now, project number 5, media. Again, this is not one of the core 4, and not every client is necessarily going to be a media prospect. However, this is a great area of opportunity. And you will find many mistakes that they're making with their media advertising, many opportunities for growth, many ways in which you could perhaps help them to do a better job and get more bang for the buck. Now, in our later session, as we get into the media project, we'll be talking about some of those ways. But what you want to try to do here is analyze everything they're doing now. You want to look at their present media plan and discover what is it that they're now doing and look for opportunities to perhaps help them to do it better. And we'll have a much more in-depth discussion of that when we get to the media section in the training. Number 6, community marketing. Here we're looking at ways to boost the image in the community, ways that maybe they can get more donation, more public image in that way, and newsworthy things that perhaps you could use press releases and things like that for. The 7th project, of course, is direct marketing. Now, as we've discussed, we may actually make this one of the core 4, or now one of the core 5 projects, because most companies can have some kind of direct marketing effort. And you want to look for those ideas. You want to look for those ways in which you could perhaps directly market those products and services to the consumer, whether it be through a direct mail approach, telemarketing approach, door-to-door, or whatever. There could be some great opportunity there. But by asking the questions here in the worksheet, you should be able to identify a number of assets, a number of things that you could help them to leverage and optimize that would help them to achieve much greater growth in their business. All right, and that brings us then to step three, leveraging those assets for exponential growth. Now, it's here that you work through the formulas, work through the numbers, and show them the growth matrix. You've had some examples of how to do that. It's very important that you get comfortable with that. If you're not comfortable now, you need to work practice exercises and just make sure that you understand how to work that matrix through. It's a very powerful visual tool for demonstrating to your prospect that they could be making more money, that they could be doing significantly better in their business if they were to work at growing it in all three ways. Now, the things that you're going to need to know here in order to effectively work this is you need to know what is their growth objective. Now, most clients will be able to tell you, we're doing $500,000 a year in business. We want to do $600,000 next year. So it's a 20% growth. And once you know that, you can then plug those numbers into the matrix. You also need to understand customer worth. How much is that customer worth right now over the course of a year? And what kind of closing ratios do they have? How many out of 10 prospects, how many of them are actually going to buy? Now, if you know those key pieces of information, you can work through the formulas. And that's, again, the great thing about utilizing the worksheet is that the formulas are right there. All you have to do is work it through, plug the numbers in, and it will work itself right out. Then, the final stage, project implementation, step number four. What you do here is you simply go through and outline which projects you're going to recommend that they do. Now, in most cases, you're always going to recommend the core four. As we've said, those are the four projects that virtually any business can benefit from, that any business can use. And so go through, determine which projects you're going to use, how many total projects are there, what's the investment, and then you can work out what kind of profitability the client will achieve if they move through all four of those projects and achieve the growth objective that you've set aside, that you've set up there. And all you got to do again is plug the numbers in, work through the formula, and you will arrive at the net profit that that the client can achieve. Now, down there under additional costs, let me just point out that could be any number of things. It could be things like sales commissions. It could be any other variable costs associated with generating that business. It could be increased advertising, increased marketing expense, direct mail, phone expense, salaries, whatever it might be. You need to take that into consideration when you work out the net profit, because in many cases, as sales go up, so do those variable costs. And you want to make sure that you give the client a fairly, realistic picture of what they could expect and what they could anticipate. Now, that is a quick overview of the Opportunity Analysis Worksheet. Again, the best way to become very proficient in using that tool is to simply go out and do it, work it with clients. Don't worry about the fact you may not be totally 100% up to speed on it right away, but the more you practice, the more you work with it, the more you do it, the better you're going to get. Now, in most cases, you will want to try to close the prospect on Project 1 implementation at the opportunity meeting. And you do that through the assumptive close. As we said, you simply set up the time for the beginning of project number one, which is USP. However, in some cases, the client's going to want to have a proposal, which means they want a written documentation of what it is that you're going to do. Now, I'll tell you what I do is I will always bring a proposal back, even if we've already sold the client. In other words, the proposal then just becomes a written summary or a written validation of what it is that I propose that we are going to do for them. Now, in other cases, the client may not want to close until they actually see their proposal. That's okay. What you'll discover is about 40 to 50% of those clients who are like that We'll ultimately then go ahead and do work with you once you bring the proposal back. So it is worth your while to go ahead and set up another meeting, which we call a closing call, to go in and actually do the proposal and close them on project implementation. Now, the proposal that you have on disk, the proposal format. Now, in your manual, you'll see an outline of this proposal. Now, the way this is structured, it makes it very easy for you to put these things together. All you need to do is set up your database in your computer and merge that with the fields in the proposal. The way the proposal is structured, there's an introduction which explains how we're going to do this and the three ways to grow their business. That's on page 49B. Then goes in to discuss projects and what we're going to do for each of the projects that we are recommending. The way this proposal is set up is that there is a one-page sheet for each of the seven projects. Now, as you're putting these projects together or putting these proposals together, you may discover, you know, you're not going to be presenting all seven projects. So you can easily take out the sheets or take out the projects that you're not going to do. For example, if you're recommending they do USP, leverage current marketing, and alliances, then those would be the only projects that you would actually then put into the proposal. So you can customize this any way that you see fit. You'll also see in our new proposal format that you can fill in the blanks as far as, again, reinforcing their growth objective, reinforcing the exponential growth and the profitability that they'll achieve as a result of project implementation. Okay? Then there's a sheet on each project that explains exactly what you're going to do on each project that you suggest. And finally, the last page is compensation. And here it's very important that you point out to the client that each project takes about 4 weeks. Again, why do we take 4 weeks to do each project? Well, two reasons. Number one is because it creates more value. If you say it's going to take me 4 weeks to complete this project for a $1,000 fee, there's more value than if you said to him, well, we can do this all in one day for $1,000. And in reality, you probably could do the whole project in a day because each step of the project is only going to take you about probably, you know, 2, maybe 3 hours. So each project takes 4 weeks because of that. Secondly, it enables you to maximize and manage your time a little bit better. By working on each project a couple of hours a day, or a couple of hours each week, then you can structure your time to, you know, be more flexible. So that's why we do that. Now, it's also important to point out here to the client that any printing, art charges, media fees, anything like that are extra and not included in that $1,000 project fee. You sign it. Now the client has written documentation of exactly what it is that you are going to do for them. Which, if you go now to the next page, which is page 50, signed agreement or handshake, we always prefer just to use a handshake, no signed agreements. Now, that's okay because you're getting paid in advance. So if the client doesn't pay you, obviously you don't do the project. So you're not out anything. On the other hand, the client is protected because he is getting a signed proposal from you that's indicating the work that you're going to do. So there really, we have not found a need for a contract. It makes it much, much easier to close. People tend to get a little bit frightened of written agreements or written contracts. There's more stress involved, more anxiety, and it's a little bit more difficult close. So we suggest simply using a handshake agreement, collecting your fees up front, and you shouldn't have any problem. Okay. Now, here are some other prospecting tools, other things that you might consider doing that just as a quick little summary here of other ways in which you can grow your business. Page 51, other prospecting methods. You want to uncover your own marketing assets. What relationships do you have? What people do you know? Your accountant or other businesses that, you know, you could possibly leverage their client base. Offer to do free consulting for them if they'll put you in touch with their clients. There's a number of things you can do here. Get letters of reference and endorsement letters from those people. Page 52, business shows. This can be another effective way to generate lots of leads. We've done it many cases where we've been able to gather, you know, many leads from a business show. Not all of them are going to be qualified, but if you get with it right away and follow up on them soon after the show, your chances of being able to generate some business from them is really quite high. Groups and associations, work with the Chamber of Commerce groups, any other business groups that are perhaps in your area, offer to give free speeches, presentations, work the client base. I mean, there's a number of different things that you can do with those groups and associations. Vertical marketing, we've talked about that somewhat. One way that you can greatly accelerate the growth of your marketing, of your marketing consulting practice, is through vertical marketing. And that means becoming an expert in one field and then working all the companies or all the businesses in that one area. Now, there are some advantages to that in the fact that you can build this quicker. By working a vertical market, you begin to become an expert, word spreads, you get a lot of clients, and you can leverage your success from one to the other. The challenge is, though, that eventually you're going to run out of businesses. You're working only one industry. You're going to have to travel across the country, around the world. If you don't mind doing that, that's okay. It can help you to build your practice, you know, a little bit quicker. You can increase repeat purchases by performing well in the first few projects. Chances are they're going to go ahead and buy more projects. And remember, your best source of additional business will come from your existing clients. If you do a good job for them, they'll continue to do business with you. Long-distance consultation, this might be something that you will want to explore later on in your career. We highly suggest that before you do that, you contact us and let us kind of coach you through that. But it can be an effective vehicle for you, doing the long-distance evaluations and doing the long-distance marketing audits and customized marketing plans. Can be a very effective way for you to work with clients long-distance over the phone. Now, in the back of your manual, here are some additional forms and worksheets that you can use. Just some different variations of the opportunity analysis worksheet. More so in here just to show you how this has evolved, but you might get some additional ideas from this. So I hope that this has been a valuable tool for you in terms of how to build your practice. The opportunity meeting is crucial, and you need to practice that. You need to become very comfortable with that. Your degree of success in your consulting practice is going to be directly proportional to how successful you are in being able to close your clients and being able to close them at the opportunity meeting. So practice these tools, review, and just go out and do it. And the more you do it, the better you'll become. The better you become, the more money you make. Good. Thanks a lot. Good luck in marketing your practice.